We celebrate today the feast of two of the 12 apostles, Saints Simon and Jude, chosen personally, chosen by name, by Jesus, after he spent the night in prayer on the mountain. So before we reflect on the apostles, let's start with Jesus' prayer on the mountain. I think it's a good thing to see what Jesus is teaching us here, and it's in some ways in continuity with what we pondered on Sunday, which was also about prayer. Remember, the tax collector and the Pharisee were praying in the temple. Well, here's Jesus praying, not in the temple, but on the mountain, and he's praying all night. So these two dimensions of his prayer, the mountain and the night, have something to tell us. There's lots of ways to interpret these things, but first of all, the idea of climbing up a mountain, this is, you could say, part of our responsibility when it comes to prayer. Prayer just doesn't happen by itself. We have to make an effort. Even though God is with us everywhere and all the time, we still have to climb the mountain. We still have to set aside the time. We have to detach ourselves from our preoccupations and distractions so that we can enter into a deeper communion with God. That's what the mountain represents, the place where we can encounter God. So, as I said, God is everywhere. He's just as present at the bottom of the mountain as he is at the top of the mountain, but we have to do the climbing, as Jesus does, and he teaches us by doing it himself. But the other part of prayer is somehow out of our hands. It's up to God when he wants to shine light on us. So the idea of being in the darkness all night long, and even Jesus experienced darkness, is also part of prayer. When we pray, we don't immediately get answers from God, usually. We have to humble ourselves before God, as we learned from the tax collector in the parable on Sunday. He lowered his eyes. He was in the presence of God, but he didn't stand as if he had any rights to light from God. He simply said, "Oh God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Oh God, be merciful to me, a sinner." Now, that's not the prayer of Jesus on the mountain, because he's not a sinner. But the idea of humbling ourselves before God and persevering through the night, the times of darkness, that is something Jesus teaches us here. And it wasn't until day came that he called the disciples and chose 12 of them to be his apostles. So it's a lesson about waiting for the Lord to give us light before we make major decisions. It's part of the process of discernment. When we are experiencing desolation or darkness or absence or no answer from God, we have to persevere. And then when we get an indication from God what to do, then we can make our decisions, consolation. So that's a little bit about what we learned from Jesus and the business of prayer. Now we reflect on the 12 themselves, especially these two, Simon and Jude. We know very little about the 12, and especially about these two. What we know from this gospel is that Simon was called a zealot, and that Judas was the son of James. And that's all it says in this gospel. In modern times, there's a great hunger for more details about people's lives, because they have to fill up the internet and the 24-hour news cycle with more and more information, and you know what happens. There just isn't that much to say, so people start speculating and even creating stories. You might have noticed that when it comes to major public figures, someone will come up with some story that tries to bring the human side. So what does Putin eat for breakfast, or something like that? There'll be an article like that, or a little video. What does Putin eat for breakfast? Well, that doesn't make any difference, but it's an attempt to bring this big public figure down to the human level. We eat breakfast. Maybe he eats scrambled eggs. Well, I eat scrambled eggs, and I can somehow connect with Putin. I can't connect with him in the experience of having extraordinary power, someone who can make decisions that affect millions of people's lives, even the future of the planet, that sort of thing. But he's also an ordinary fellow. And so you see these things about whatever, Xi Jinping, what does he do on his day off? what's the dictator of North Korea? Kim Jong-un. So you see the picture of Kim Jong-un. And there's this person in the background. I think that's his second cousin. So, there's always people trying to make a connection. Well, I have a second cousin. Maybe there's something like that in his life too. He has a family. He has interests, personal interests. Now, we do the same thing with the apostles. We try to figure out what they were really like. A great example of it in our own times is this television series, The Chosen. They really make an effort to turn the 12 into real human figures with distinct personalities. It's not that easy to do because the television medium, it's difficult to develop the characters of very many people. Eventually you start to lose track of who they are. It's easy to develop the main characters. But once you get to Simon and Jude, well, I'm not quite sure what they're like. But in the Chosen, for example, they keep referring to Simon as Z. Jesus calls him Z. It's like a nickname. And he's always a belligerent person because as a zealot, I mean, the tradition is that he belonged to the zealot party. He wasn't just a zealous person. He was kind of an official member of the zealots. And they were aggressive nationalists, even terrorists. I don't know if Simon the Zealot was a terrorist, but they always show him he had his little knife with him and he's ready to fight. So that's a way of trying to connect with the human personality of Simon. Jude, his real name is Judas, of course, has the same name as Judas Iscariot, which is difficult for us. But in The Chosen, I don't remember how they present Jude. Is he the one with the disability?
No.
Okay, that's the other one. That must be That's the other James. Yeah, there's two Jameses. So in the Chosen, they call one Big James and one Little James. And Little James is limping. He walks with a cane. I don't remember what they say about Jude. Anyways, it's hard to distinguish them. It's not that important. I mean, because if they were supposed to be, if their personalities were supposed to be known, we would know. But what we do know is that Jesus chose these men. So he chose them personally. He chose them after intense prayer. He chose them because it was the will of the Father. He chose them by name, and he made them the foundation stones of the church. That's what we read in the first reading today. The church is the household of God, built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, with Christ Jesus himself as the capstone. So Jesus is the key figure, but Jesus himself chose these 12 on which to build the church, like the foundation stones of a building. Now, that's enough for us to know, but it's also important for us to keep in mind that the role of the apostles continues in the church in the ministry of the bishops. So even if we don't know much about, say, Simon or Jude, we do know bishops of our own time, and we rely on their ministry to carry on the mission of Jesus and mission of the church. This is kind of fresh in my mind because I've met bishops recently. I've shared this so many times, but in the space of just a couple of weeks, I met two cardinals. That's unusual. There was a Cardinal Advíncula who said the Mass for the Courage Conference at the end of August. And then a couple of weeks later, I was in the States and my brother and I were walking on the campus of the University of Notre Dame, and along came the Cardinal, the Apostolic Nuncio to the United States. I didn't know who he was. I just saw a man wearing a cross. I said to my brother, I bet that guy's a bishop, because he was wearing a pectoral cross. So he was just walking down the sidewalk with a man in a suit. And so when we approached them, I said, are you a bishop? And then the man in the suit said, this is the Papal Nuncio. I said, Your Eminence, I'm sorry, I didn't know who you were. Turns out the man in the suit was the former ambassador of the United States to the Vatican, and also former U.S. senator. So, okay, people you meet on the sidewalk. It was quite a striking thing to me. And then just yesterday, I got a phone call from the Apostolic Nunciature of the Philippines on Taft Avenue because we're preparing a commemorative booklet for our 50th anniversary, and I wrote a letter to the Papal Nuncio, asked if he would submit a message for the booklet. And Pete delivered the letter personally. Anyway, so the secretary of the Nuncio called me yesterday afternoon and just to find out, what is this? What is this on a whim? Is this a legitimate group, or is this somebody trying to get approval from the Pope, or approval from the representative of the Pope for something that's not really worth approval? And I was happy that they make that kind of careful discernment, find out before he, in other words, the secretary, I'm sure the nuncio doesn't even know that I wrote him a letter, but the secretary is the one who's going to give advice to the nuncio whether this group is worthy of a message or not. But the point I'm trying to make here is that the role of the apostles continues in the church, and we are reliant on, we're built on the work of the bishops. The bishops are our connection to the apostles, especially, of course, the Bishop of Rome, the Pope, but all the bishops. We are here in this diocese praying very fervently for the good health of Bishop Mercado. Bishop Mercado, I think, is still in the hospital, and he's a successor of the apostles. So it's not just a friend of ours. He has been given a responsibility to guide, to shepherd the church now, in 2025. And so we, the sheep, are also responsible to pray for our shepherd. So with this awareness of the greatness of the apostles, yes, the 12, but also the importance of the bishops in the church now, we celebrate this feast day. Yes, looking back with gratitude and with appreciation of the great structure that Jesus established in the church, and also with kind of a shared responsibility for the church right now under the guidance of the Pope and the bishops.